hearing hearts immediately rose, ignited by the ancient natural light. They arranged their bodies in majestic posture, paying attention to their manly looks. In them, the haughty pride of Asia decorates the pretty notes of Europe. The above description leads us to our topic, since Csokonai talks of an ambiguity here, an Orientalism identical to the Hungarian people's identity, which, however, is unique in the eyes of Westerners. Such uniqueness can, of course, mean a pejorative sense of strangeness, as it appears from the opinion of a contemporary in relation to the Three Kings March. Including it here is instructive to us because it also contains the reply this made to it. The composer himself recalled, as a German musician standing near him expressed his displeasure, I quote from this, "The Hungarian part of the march shocked Müller-Hartmann very much at the time. If the Flemish painter Rubens depicted Flemish people on his paintings, Adoration of the Magi, I can also provide one of my wise men a greased and manicured moustache. I do not find it at all." There is nothing strange in the fact that the composer, putting the unity of arts in the center of his thinking, puts forth an argument based on the Farnham piece. If Rubens, who was brought up as an authority, could update the Three Kings as Flemish, then this king can also make them Hungarian with the help of the Bourbon March, thus eliminating the spatial and temporal distance between the biblical story and his time. The metaphor is clear. Liszt wished to represent the Hungarians with the Hungarian music he considered ancient. However, it should be emphasized that the Hungarian March of the Christus Oratorio was embedded into a pastoral music medium rooted in Western musical tradition. By integrating Bourbon in the European musical tradition, Liszt achieved a unique Hungarian-European synthesis. Hungarians, represented by the Three Kings and the Shepherd people of the time of Jesus, merged into one another, thus becoming the representatives of the repentant people of the Bible. Still, how can the nation concept accord here be characterized? A remark of the composer himself could provide a good starting point in this question. Referring to his father's role as head shepherd, Számadó Juhász, this writes about his symbolic identification with the shepherds of the oratorio. Herder's idea of idealized natural existence is formulated here, the widespread romantic idea of the populace, according to which archaic shepherd populations, as the major embodiments of moral purity, can provide a model of life bearing renewal to the civilized people of the age. Studies concerning Hungarian nation characterology projected this idyllic concept of populace to the shepherds of the Great Plain region offered, coupled with the idea of the Hungarian people's eastern identity. I quote, for example, Jancin Tolnai. "We can fight the characteristic of our nation in them, in their original purity, more than anywhere else, even the serious Eastern dignity considered generic." Linking Eastern identity and the pagan Hungarians was also commonplace in these writings, connecting the lowland landscape and its inhabitants to the Eastern myth. This letter actually corresponds to the continuity theory based on Herder's people concept, which equates ancient and folkloric. The opinion formulated by János Erdélyi in his Images of a Journey can be considered typical, so I quote from János Erdélyi. "We know from the holy story, Jesus, Hagar, and the whole Jewish nation in the wilderness, we have concepts of the Bedouins, Arabs of the desert, and as people of the East, we brought over a lot of it in our blood, because of which sons of the East turn towards us with kind emotions or even with fondness. So it's no wonder that the best part of the Hungarian nation lives there on a beautiful plain." When the idea of linking up the Hungarian people with the shepherds of the Holy Land was conceived by Liszt, he must have been thinking in such literary manners. There is no doubt that he had some knowledge of Hungarian nation characterology. A part of the letter written by him is a proof of it. When he returned to Hungary again, after 8 years, he condensed his emotions of meeting his country in the following poetic image. So I quote again from this. My heart was in tears at the border when I caught sight of this simple image, the carefree shepherd sitting on his hills, guarded by his sheep and oxen, because it seemed as if his animals were looking after him. This verse suggests that in his eyes, the Hungarian shepherd was almost not a reality, rather a phenomenon which enabled the composer to conjure up the characteristic features of the stereotype image created of the shepherd, the carefree brooding of the melancholic figure. As if the well-known image of the shepherd appeared in a contemporary Hungarian press, came to life in this letter, to quote, for example, Sunday Press, Vasárnapi újság. We can hardly imagine a shepherd other than in the field, the open puszta, on top of a sand mound, leaning on his stick, his eyes probing into the distance, pondering without thinking. The statue by Miklós Zsizsó, you can see on the slide, which later became famous under the title Grieving Shepherd, is the symbolic embodiment of this folk character in Hungarian art. A letter written by the composer might help us unfold the ideological background of the Christmas Oratorio, as it provides us with a lead concerning the interpretation of the biblical story by Liszt. So I quote again from this. I shall be in a better company among the shepherds who heard the voice of the angel professing peace to men of goodwill, and whom the wise kings admitted to their company. And thus shall we proceed at the light of the Star of Bethlehem, climbing the stations of the Golgotha, and praising the God of justice and mercy. Although, according to the Bible, the three kings and the shepherds did not go to Bethlehem together, they are formed into one group by Liszt. They are all the children of the converted people, accepting the divine inspiration of God, who follow their assigned course, providing the model for the peers joining them beyond space and time. The inspiration provided by the Star of Bethlehem is thus nothing less than a Christian life path allegory, pointing beyond the biblical story and endowed with a community dimension, designating these own circumstances as well. This belonging to the people, coupled with an orientation towards God, was this artistic stance, since, as he put it in his Ars Poetica in the 30s, so it was a very early Ars Poetica, in the past, and even more so in our days, music should focus on the people and God, create a bond between them, thus ennobling and consoling mankind while blessing and praising God. In the light of the above, it's not surprising that in the fifth movement of the Christmas Oratorio, the Star of Bethlehem taking shape after the verbal march, is musically a true inspiration, according to Paul Merrick. We are faced with a program-like representation here, as this copied May 229 into the score, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Since the Three Kings March received a distinctively Hungarian music mark with a verbal allusion, the Star of Bethlehem can be interpreted having a double reference. Besides showing the way to the three biblical kings, the phenomenon also highlighted the right direction for Hungarians, that is the path of Christianity. What has been defined in general terms above becomes practically tangible here. With the appearance of the Star of Bethlehem, a transformation is realized, meaning the musical Christianization of the Hungarians. At this point, it's worth drawing into the realm of the study the painting entitled The Three Magi by Ary Scheffer, who was a famous French romantic painter and a friend of Liszt. The painting which decorated the Weimar home of Liszt and Princess Caroline Zein-Wittgenstein is an iconographic rarity and created great sensation at the time. Its contemporaries recognized in the guise of the biblical king facing the Star of Bethlehem the hidden portrait of Liszt. As it has been shown earlier in one of my papers, the composer appears here as the inspired prophet of art. Originally, the painting had a pair of identical sides depicting the Annunciation to the shepherd scene. Their mutual compositional element is the holy inspiration represented by the radiant light, as a result of which the young king, Liszt, and the shepherds undergo transformation. This latter painting was not owned by Liszt, but is documented that he was familiar with it and knew from Schaeffer that originally the two paintings belonged together. The supposition that there is a rather close connection between the idea behind the two paintings and the Christmas Oratorio does not seem too bold, after all. They are joined by the worldview which originates with the painter and composer's mutual mentor, Abbé Lamennais's ideology centering on the people and God. This explains, in a sense, the singular people concept of the painting and the music. The strong emphasis laid on both works of art, on the depiction of the people accepting divine inspiration and, as a result, transforming into a Christian community. Schaeffer, just as this, represented the people as an idealized community of believers with a deep feeling of empathy and solidarity towards the poor. The relationship between the paintings of Ari Schaeffer and the piece of music under study can be described by the category of analogy stemming from mutual worldview. However, there is another painting which was documentedly the source of inspiration behind the Three Kings movement. Lina Rama mentions in her Liszt biography this painting, the Adoration of the Magi altarpiece in the Cologne Cathedral. It was a well-known major piece in Liszt's age as well, Stefan Lochner's triptych, which was transported to the Cathedral of Cologne at the beginning of the 19th century, but is still visible. We are in a more difficult situation if we inquire into the nature of this inspiration, since Raman did not specify. At first sight, connecting the painting to the so-called treasure theme of the Three Kings movement is rather convenient. The identification of this theme comes from Liszt himself, who copied into the autograph sheet the words of Matthew 2:11. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. It remains a question, though, whether the relationship between painting and music, that is the nature of inspiration, can be described with simply the category of illustration arising from thematic similarity. Hardly. This must have seen something else to them. Lochner's painting must have caught his eyes with the splendor of a bygone age, with which not only the triumphant ending of the movement, the tutti, accompanied by brass fanfares harmonized well, but also the archaic, oriental-like music of the verbal intermediate. This must have had some idea what his contemporary painters considered oriental appearance. They expressed the oriental character of the figures appearing among the entourage of the kings must have caught his attention. We know that Hungarians were often represented in the 15th century when Lochner painted the altarpiece in a similar way, with beard, moustache and oriental-looking peak caps. As we see, for example, the seven Hungarian leaders in the Turóczi Chronicle. In terms of our subject, it is important whether Liszt considered in Lochner painting these peak caps attendants merely oriental or maybe Hungarian as well. We might pose this question since millennia Hungarian historiography believed to have identified in the old king, you can see the picture, the hidden portrait of Sigismund of Luxembourg, King of Hungary and Holy Roman Emperor. While somewhat later, the oriental-looking figures figures were identified as his Hungarian entourage. The positive answer that this regarded them Hungarians would obviously support our train of thought, as it would provide a visual analogy for giving a Hungarian tone to the march. We can also put this problem into the broader context of the 19th century renewal of the cult of the Hungarian king, St. Stephen, who himself, according to legend, was baptized from pagan Vajk to Christian Stephen. His baptism was well represented in the 19th century as a visual token of the conversion of the Hungarians, in which the idea of the spiritual transformation of Eastern pagan Hungarians is inherent. I show lastly some representation of it in the one painted by Gyula Bentzur. Vajk's oriental-looking appearance even visually contributes to the fact what transformation of pagan to Christian means. That this was not unfamiliar with Stephen Vajk's role in this issue is proved by the fact that he planned a national oratorio of the saint, however it was not executed. We have seen by what means Liszt integrated the Verbum in Western music in the analyzed part of a composition. We can witness the creation of a Hungarian-European synthesis with a Christian ethos, which can just as well be interpreted as a special musical reflection of the Christian versus pagan Hungarian dispute. This provided his own nation a special role. With the Verbunk allusion, he identified the Hungarian nation with the converted people who recognized the Savior in Christ. Thank you very much.